Hey y'all, we're going to look at Luke chapter 5 and the remaining three controversies that Jesus has with the Pharisees there. So we're going to start in verse 33. And they said to him, "The disciples of John fast often and offer prayers, and so do the disciples of the Pharisees, but yours eat and drink." And Jesus said to them, "Can you make wedding guests fast while the bridegroom is with them? The days will come when the bridegroom is taken away from them, and then they will fast in those days." He also told them a parable. "No one tears a piece from a new garment and puts it on an old garment. If he does, he will tear the new, and the piece from the old will not match the piece from the new will not match the old. And no one puts new wine into old wineskins. If he does, the new wine will burst the skins. It will burst the skins, and it will be spilled, and the skins will be destroyed. But new wine must be put into fresh wineskins. And no one, after drinking old wine, desires new, for he says, 'The old is good.' On a Sabbath, while he was going through the grain fields, his disciples plucked and ate some heads of grain, rubbing them in their hands. But some of the Pharisees said, 'Why are you doing what is not lawful to do on the Sabbath?' And Jesus answered them, 'Have you not read what David did when he was hungry, he and those who were with him, how he entered the house of God and took and ate the bread of the presence, which is not lawful for any but the priests to eat, and also gave it to those with him? And he said to them, "The Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath." And on another Sabbath, he entered the synagogue and was teaching, and a man was there whose right hand was withered. And the scribes and Pharisees watched him to see whether he would heal on the Sabbath, so that they might find a reason to accuse him. But he knew their thoughts, and he said to the man with the withered hand, "Come and stand here." And he rose and stood there. And Jesus said to them, "I ask you, is it lawful on the Sabbath to do good or to do harm, to save life or to destroy it?" And after looking around at them all, he said to him, "Stretch out your hand." And he did so, and his hand was restored. But they were filled with fury and discussed with one another what they might do to Jesus. So remember, in the scene just before this, Levi was called to be a disciple, and he's thrown a big feast, and the Pharisees are pretty upset about the crowd that Jesus is hanging out with. And so all of this comes in the context of this series of controversies with the Pharisees that culminate in this moment, this last moment, when they are so enraged with jealousy that they decide they've got to do something about Jesus and get rid of him. So the first controversy here is this issue with fasting and with prayers. And essentially, they're referring to the standard practice of fasting cycles, fasting during the week that John the Baptist's disciples and the Pharisees engaged in. And Jesus responds in several ways. First, he says, well, listen, when a wedding feast is going on, you don't fast, okay? When the bridegroom's not there, when the wedding festivities haven't begun, you wait, okay? You fast, you're not eating. But when the bridegroom is there, it's time to celebrate. So Jesus, again, compares himself to a bridegroom. And again, this is a very important theme, really, in all the Gospels. Think about the beginning of the Gospel of John when Jesus does his first miracle at a wedding. Indeed, I would suggest this little parable rhymes in a lot of ways with what went on at the wedding feast of Cana in Galilee. So Jesus says, listen, I have come, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, and I've come to declare jubilee. I've come to restore things. It's not time to mourn. It's time to celebrate the new thing that God is doing. And this is the same thing he's trying to illustrate in his two parables of the wine and the clothes. The point of both is that there's something new, and Jesus hasn't come simply to patch up old practices and maybe shore them up a little bit and improve them. He's come to do something entirely new. All of the old maybe points in the direction of the new, but Jesus is on the scene. God is here to declare the year of Jubilee. Jesus has come to set captives free, and so old practices simply won't do, and, you know, shoring up old practices won't do. It's time for something new. And I think his parable also evokes a celebration, new clothes and wine. Those both speak of, again, this wedding feast. So in all of these scenes, I think there's a sort of a celebratory tone in what Jesus is recommending. In the next scene, it's on a Sabbath, and the disciples are walking through the grain fields and doing what actually the Old Testament said you could do, which is if you go through the grain fields or if you go through fields, maybe they're grape trees, grapevines or olive trees, you can pluck by hand and eat those things. You can't go in with a sickle and do harvesting, but you can do something to sustain yourself. So their concern, though, was that Jesus and his disciples were not observing the Sabbath. And I think it's worth noting that the Pharisees were, they really believed if Israel didn't follow the Sabbath practices, there would be serious judgment. I mean, they had a real genuine fear. They were mistaken, but they had a genuine fear that it was for the sake of the nation. But in these scenes, they really are degenerating into just they're envious and they're making accusations and they're waiting to try to catch Jesus not following their prescriptions. Notice what Jesus does. He evokes an Old Testament scene, and I think he evokes it in a kind of surprising way. This is the scene when David is running away from Saul, and he stops where the ark is, and he and his men eat the showbread, the old showbread, right? We think that this is probably a Sabbath day that he's arrived, because it was on that day that they were replacing the showbread from the prior week. And Jesus and his men eat the showbread, and he says, "Oh, well, listen, the men are holy. We've kept ourselves pure, and so it's okay for us to eat this." So the point is, David had a liberty. He had a kind of a liberty to make a judgment call with regard to Sabbath rules and with regard to the rules of the food in the temple. And he ate the food, and God didn't judge him for it. So Jesus is essentially saying, if David could do that, then the son of David can have a similar liberty on the Sabbath. And then he makes a further point that the Son of Man, which he is the Son of Man, is the Lord of the Sabbath. He's in charge of the Sabbath. It's, we could put it this way, his idea, his invention. And who better to determine what's appropriate to do on the Sabbath than the one who came up with it? And this, of course, identifies him with God the Father, who we see in Genesis rested on the sixth day. And I believe the Son also rested on the sixth day. But it also evokes Adam, who I think was with God. He was called to have dominion. He was called into God's reign on the Sabbath day. That was his first full day. So again, Jesus is actually getting to the heart of what the Sabbath is about, and this next scene fleshes that out even further. So it's on another Sabbath, and remember, Jesus has come to declare liberty to the captives, to declare Jubilee, and the point of Jubilee is restoring things to the way that God intended them to be from the beginning. Debts are canceled, ancestral lands that have been lost due to debt are returned, and what he does in this scene is restore a man's hand. Well, that's a restoring to his body of the way things ought to be, so that then he can be a part of God's restoration of the world. And Sabbath itself, this weekly day of rest, is a kind of a weekly jubilee. The actual year of jubilee was to take place every 50 years, or at the end of 49 years, 7 times 7. So this is a weekly Sabbath, and all of it is about restoration and bringing everything back to the way it ought to be. Well, then I think behind this story is also a story from 1 Kings. If you'll remember, Jeroboam set up idolatrous altars in the northern kingdom and told everybody in the northern kingdom to forget Jerusalem. Here's these golden calves that brought us out of Egypt. That obviously should remind us of Sinai and the rebellion at Sinai. And if you'll remember in that scene, Jeroboam stretched out his hand and said, "Seize the man of God," and his hand froze. It withered in its place. And it didn't get released until the man of God prayed that it would be released after Jeroboam asked him to release it. And so I think what's also going on in this scene is Jesus is saying, look, I've come to restore things. I've come to bring things back to the way they ought to be. And you guys are now in the position of Jeroboam. You have totally misinterpreted the purposes of the laws. You've misinterpreted the purpose of the Sabbath. And you've actually turned your version of the Sabbath into an idol, which you demand that everybody bows down to. And so I think there is a very clear judgment on the Pharisees that they are now in the position of Jeroboam. And what their response to Jesus in this scene bears that out, because it says that they are out of their mind. They're enraged. They're out of their mind with anger. I believe they're out of their mind with envy. Envy of Jesus' authority. Envy of the miracles he's doing. Envy of the reputation that he is building. And it says here for the Gospel of Luke that this was the moment that they say, okay, something has to be done with this man. We have to get rid of this man. So may we be like those who joyfully receive what is new that Jesus is bringing, who wants to make all things new, to fulfill the purposes of creation, to fulfill the purpose of Sabbath, to fulfill the freedom that God intended when he made Israel and when he is remaking mankind. Amen.